What is going on? Happy Victory Tuesday, I guess it is. Here on 104.5 The Zone, Buck Rising here with you until 1 o'clock. So happy to be here to talk about a massive Titans win against the Buffalo Bills last night. Lucas Panzeca making it happen behind the glass. We appreciate all of his good work. We appreciate your participation because I'm sure you guys are going to be active and involved over the course of the next 3 hours today. 615-737-1045 is how you do so. If you want to weigh in with your thoughts, your opinions, your observations about the Titans' 34-31 victory over the AFC's best, the Buffalo Bills. It was an incredible scene last night. It really was. And we're just going to react to it all day long because there's so many different elements of that game that I want to get into. I want to start with the fact that what the hell? I mean, how do they do this year in and year out? I mean, is that okay for me to say? Like, I know that everybody's rejoicing. I know that everybody's happy. I know that everybody is celebrating naked and drunk in the streets of Broadway until I was leaving Nissan Stadium at like 2 a.m. last night. But how the hell is this something that they do each and every time?
It's the gif for Jesse in Breaking Bad. They can't keep getting away with this.
It's awesome because that was an incredible game to witness and to cover and to be a part of because I've talked about this a million times. I'm watching a Hall of Famer in front of me. I'm getting the opportunity in my career to cover a future Hall of Famer in Derrick Henry because the numbers on this dude are insane. But I'm writing about this last night, and all I kept thinking in my head, and it was set off by a comment that Kevin Byard made. Kevin Byard, Titan safety, meeting with the media last night. He was one of several players to meet with the media last night. Everybody wanted to talk last night because they got a massive victory against Buffalo. But Kevin Byard came into the press conference, and I'll read you the exact quote. We're asking him basically about, I mean, what was it like to be on the field in that environment? A record crowd at Nissan Stadium. It was such a cool thing to witness. And we were asking him, you know, is this like the biggest moment that you guys have had, or is this the most impactful moment? And he goes, honestly, it goes back to 2019 Chargers. That was Tannehill's first start. It was Jeffrey Simmons' first game that I had parenthetically. They got a goal line stop in there. Wesley Woodyard forced a fumble. It was an incredible atmosphere. And he goes, it was movie-like. You know what I'm saying? And I'm sitting there thinking about, and then for whatever reason, I got lost in the rest of Kevin Byard's press conference because I'm just thinking it really did feel like a cinematic feature event. And every season under Vrabel, 3 years in the past and now in his fourth season, they have one of these movie-like moments, whether it's the Chiefs in 2019 or the Eagles' overtime victory at Nissan Stadium, or you go into Baltimore in the playoffs and you upset Lamar Jackson after doing it to Tom Brady. There are these moments across these three seasons and change under Mike that just make me think of the line. I know it's a Godfather line, but I associate it more with The Sopranos. Just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in. That's what the Tennessee Titans are to me. They have these season-defining moments once a year, sometimes twice, but this was one of those because it wasn't just that Derek had another 3-touchdown performance. It's the third time that he scored 3 touchdowns in a game. Nobody else has done it once. It's stupid. It's watching something that's completely unprecedented. And by the way, I mean, the campaign for Derrick Henry for MVP has probably already started well in earnest, but we're gonna lead the charge on that, I feel. I feel like this is gonna be my repentance for in 19 or in 18 or 20, rather, not wanting to give Derrick Henry a second contract. Who's the dumbest thing in sports? It's me this week. Me for the rest of time. We could nominate me for the rest of time. Because every time I watch him, he just makes me eat it.
And a lot of other people.
Sure. There's a lot. But accountability is key on this show. And so we are going to lead the charge for Derrick Henry for MVP, not just because I'm trying to make up for how stupid I looked a couple of years ago, but because he damn deserves it. It's insane. Every week, Teron Davenport and myself, Teron Davenport from ESPN, we're always it's always after the media availability concludes. You're walking through the bowels of whatever stadium you're in, whether it's Nissan or that godforsaken cesspool in Jacksonville or Seattle in week two. You're just walking through the bowels of the stadium after the media availability, and you're like, man, every week you look at ESPN Stats and Info or Next Gen or Pro Football Focus, and Derrick Henry has done something for the first time since Jim Brown in 1960. Or he's on a list with two other running backs that have done X, Y, and Z in the history of the sport. Except it's literally every damn week. I've never seen anything like it, and precious few people have throughout the course of NFL history. And honestly, that's not even what made that win so spectacular. It helped. It helped that the Bills, who are giving up 12.8 points per game last night, that Derrick Henry scored 18 points himself. It helps that the Bills are giving up 78.4 yards per game on the ground, third best in the sport before last night, and the first touchdown of the game is a 76-yarder by Derrick.
He got it in one play.
It's crazy. That's what I'm saying. Like, but Lucas, I almost said a bad word. It's bleeped up because he's not even the story today. I mean, he is, but not really. Because he does that every week. Every week he does this kind of thing. What changed the game was the defense. What changed the game were early Buffalo Bills drives that stall out in the red zone, that you're making them settle for field goals at least three times throughout the course of that game. You're causing Josh Allen to be uncomfortable. You come up with a legitimately great game plan to keep Josh Allen. I mean, we'll play you some audio from Bud Dupree, from Jeffrey Simmons, from Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill, Mike Vrabel. You hear from everybody last night throughout the course of that game. But the way that they were able to bother a quarterback who largely, outside of the first game of the season against Pittsburgh, largely been unbothered. And the guy who is one of the candidates for MVP, and I understand we're going into week seven, and who the hell cares about MVP in week seven? Well, Titans fans should, because you've got a candidate, and he's a real one. In fact, he should be. If it's not Kyler Murray, it's Derrick Henry. It's 1A and 1B. Because you just went head-to-head with another supposed MVP candidate last night. And who Lucas, let's play some trivia. It's not even trivia. Who looked more like the MVP last night?
Yeah, which player was more valuable to their team last night?
Yeah. Who was it? Can you tell me?
It was the guy who's on pace to rush for 2,218 yards in 17 games.
I would say it's the 250-pound running back who's pulling away through your secondary for almost as many yards as you average per game. It is something that, this is what pisses people off about the Titans. You can't quantify them. They are a statistical anomaly in any sense of the imagination. Whether, you know, they're a 6-point home dog to the Buffalo Bills, which if you bet Titans plus six, you're living today, because that may have been the easiest bet on the board given the way that they play in these games. But they're doing it with a running back. They're doing it in a way that no other NFL team right now, outside of what, the Cleveland Browns, because they have a quarterback with a bum shoulder, and the Baltimore Ravens because of who Lamar Jackson is, nobody else is doing it the way that the Titans do it. And they're not even like whole. All of that offseason hype, and listen, it's not defined by one game. Their season is not defined by one game, but it can be a defining moment. Each year that this staff and John Robinson have been overseeing things together, they have had one of these defining moments. And last night it came on a nationally televised stage in front of a record crowd at Nissan Stadium. I've never seen anything like that. Been covering the team for 5 years, never seen that stadium look anywhere remotely like that. Not against the Chiefs in 2019, not against the Eagles in overtime in 2018. That was when people were still trying to decide whether they can trust. And you may not be, one game may not sell you on being able to trust them outright, nor should it, because that Jets thing looms large. But what we're watching right now is a defining moment for the Tennessee Titans, and it could not come at a more critical time given who they have in front of them the next 3 weeks. We'll talk about it all day long. Your phone call, 615-737-1045. Coming up next, you're going to hear from Big Jeff, who had the goal line stop on 4th and 1 from the Titans 3. Kathy will lead us off on the other side. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone.
Allen under center. Sneaking.
No,
I don't know.
He did not make that.
I do not know. Let's see where they spot it.
He did not make that.
The Titans think they have stopped it. Let's wait. Allen tried to sneak. He got nothing, or so it appeared.
He got it. They got it. They did it. They did it. Yes. Not yes. Not yes. Hell yes.
If you couldn't tell, that's Coach Dave McGinnis. Mike Keith, the best in the business, Titans Radio. Yesterday, 4th and 1 from the Tennessee 3. There's 22 seconds left on the clock. Starts out in the shotgun, Josh Allen does. And then he decides that he's going to sneak up under the center. And who's waiting there for him? One, the turf monster, because Josh Allen straight up slipped. So all credit in the world to the Titans defense, but also, like, he just straight up lost his footing. And then as he loses his footing, he falls like a damsel in distress into the arms and the belly button of Jeffrey Simmons.
Not yes. Not yes. Hell yes.
Who's there cradling him like a child, even though Josh Allen is a giant human being. That's right. Thank you for all your good works, Mac. See, normally we just get Mac on Friday. Now we got him year-round. It's so ridiculous. I went down into the lower bowl at halftime to kind of, you know, just to kind of see what the crowd was like, and I had some friends in section 137, so I wandered down there to go check out what was happening, and they were sitting right under Mike and Mac, and Coach Mac, and I looked up, and I swear to God, like, I know Rhett was joking when he said he had to hold Mac by the back of his belt to keep him from falling out of the booth because he was leaning so far forward, but he was getting pretty damn close. Like, it was making me nervous up there as a friend, as a concerned citizen, but nobody was getting more into it than Coach Mac and Mike Keith last night.
He was about to start crowd surfing.
He should have. Listen, if anybody deserves it, it's Dave McGinnis.
No, he said on the air, I'm about to go crowd surfing.
you see Mac swan dive into the lower bowl. Unreal.
He said the words, not me.
But that was, I mean, it was an unreal scene. And we'll spend some more time on the defense here in just a second, but I want to get the people involved. I want to get you involved. 615-737-1045 is how you do so. Kathy is in Gulf Shores, Alabama. She's been waiting patiently. She wants to talk about the Titans game.
Yeah, but this is what I'm talking about, just listening to you guys play the sound bites and your comments and analysis and all that. It is so exciting. It's what I look forward to. You guys in sports radio are just as much a part of the game experience as the guys on the field. I mean, I can't wait to get to the car, to the tailgate, to turn on the radio afterwards to hear what you have to say, to hear what fans have to say. And you just add so much to the game. You are important, and we appreciate you being there.
Well, Kathy, that was incredibly uplifting and kind of you. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
I was not expecting
that. Call him back, Kathy.
I was not the person who got my face mask cut off last night, but I appreciate your commentary anyway.
I like Kathy.
big Kathy fan. We are now officially a Kathy show. I mean, what I'll say is this. It's cool to be – you do feel that as somebody who gets to cover these games, but not really from the standpoint of like, Mike and Mac are different, right? Because they are the voice in your head during the game as you're listening, whether you're driving around in your car or you hate whoever's on the broadcast team, because I saw the Monday Night Crew was getting some heat last night on social media. I haven't had a chance to watch the television copy back just yet. But whether you have Mike and Mac turned up while watching the TV broadcast, those two and Amy Wells and Rhett Bryan and everybody on Titans Radio during the games, they are 1,000% a part of the experience. They are just as real as the players on the field in those moments. Now, for us, sitting in the press box, you feel you're a part of it because you're lucky enough to tell the story. It is, I mean, Mike Vrabel is talking about, you know, it's my honor and my privilege to coach this team last night, and on it goes. And I'm not to dismiss what he's saying there, but it is really, and I don't want to speak for all of us, but I think I largely do, in saying that it is an incredibly cool opportunity to be a part of that storytelling process. Because like I said earlier, I mean, I'm watching a Hall of Famer every Sunday. I'm getting to tell the story of a Hall of Fame trajectory career every Sunday while watching Derrick Henry. And it feels like there's a different angle on it. You know, it's almost like an HBO series, right? And each football season is a season unto itself. And you understand that largely the pieces are the same and that the narratives are same. It's not necessarily an original story, or unless you're Derek, because this is very much trending towards an original story.
An origin story, like a Marvel movie.
The Chronicles of Derrick Henry. But it's like an HBO series where, you know, maybe things are starting to peter out. Maybe, you know, you have an odd Jets game and everything, and things start to get stale. But like I said to open the show, just when I thought I got out, they pull me right back in. You've seen this twist and turn a million times, and yet there are different variants to it that allow you to stay engaged and to have your love of this thing, whether you're a fan who's a fan of the football team or the players, whether you're a media member who just loves covering the sport, because I love my job. I got the greatest job in the world. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. My job is the best job. But to have that opportunity, I mean, it's such a unique experience, and I'm appreciative of it every day. 615-737-1045. Let's go to Roderick, who's in Murfreesboro. He wants to weigh in. What's up, boss?
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
Man, we're great.
Good, man. Me and my son, we went to the game last night. You know, we're first year season ticket holders. And I mean, the atmosphere was amazing. We enjoyed the game from start to finish. Just the environment, just the excitement of the game. I mean, we totally enjoyed it. And we even had a fight break out in our section.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir. Drunk Bills fan, I guess he got a little upset. And, a fight broke out. But Metro got to him pretty quick and got him out the building, though. So before he got totally knocked out.
We love to see it. Hey, thanks for the call, Roger. Glad you guys enjoyed the game. Yeah, tough scene for Bills fans, huh?
They were marveling on the Monday Night Football broadcast how it wasn't majority Bills fans at the game. They brought it up a couple of times.
Because this turned into, I mean, it didn't turn into a fight, but it turned into an argument in the press box, because Joe Rexrode is convinced, he's writing about the atmosphere and setting the scene for The Athletic, and he's going on and on about, well, yeah, the Bills fans, I mean, there's obviously Bills fans here, but you can't tell me that there's 30% of the stadium or 25% of the stadium. I could not believe the way that, because there was a lot of Bills fans there. It was kind of tough to tell from the press box because you got the red seats and people wearing like red pullovers and red Bills gear. So it's kind of blending in, and the blue obviously blends in with the Titans crowd. You're not really able to tell that definitively, but it was no question who the louder, more passionate, and more impactful fan base was at Nissan Stadium. And maybe you're thinking of this cynically and saying, well, congratulations to them. They finally had a home atmosphere when hosting one of these great NFL fan bases that travel en masse. And yeah, you know what? That is a win, because it legitimately impacted the game. It was unlike anything that I've seen at Nissan Stadium. And I know that Nissan Stadium, and before that LP Field, and before that Adelphia Coliseum, like, this is not a venue that's a stranger to these kind of environments, but it's been a damn long time. And that has to mean something to the people who have been committed to this thing throughout the course of all of the downtimes, basically the last decade of Titans football, who have seen it at its heights and want to see it restored to that kind of greatness. For at least one night, you got to live that. And now you have the ability to do the exact same thing against the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday. 615-737-1045. I think, you know, because we'll talk about the game itself, and really, it wasn't just the Jeffrey Simmons fourth and one stop, and it wasn't just Big Jeff in the middle of it, but the Jeffrey Simmons fourth and one stop was just emblematic of what that defense did all night long. I could not be more complimentary of what their defensive game plan was and how the players executed. It's been a long time since I've been able to say that about a Titans defense. But Jeffrey Simmons, we asked him last night about how they knew, because Jeff said he immediately knew that Josh Allen was getting ready to quarterback sneak in that spot, and this is what Big Jeff had to say on the podium.
I mean, we know what they kind of do, especially on the in that type of situation, even if they outside of a goal, red zone or right there on the goal line. We know if the quarterback come on center like that, we anticipate sneak, and that was play I thought that was gonna run, and they did. So, I was inside of the tackle, got my hand on the tackle, quarterback right there, he tried to get low, just put my big arms around, he couldn't move, so he was short. So it was a great play from everybody. Everybody was in their gaps.
Everybody was. And here's what I'll say, because who's our guy? Where is Kenston in Memphis? Where is this troll? You know you bleeped up if I know you by name. The only other person that I know by name definitively are people who call this show every day, and Darrington for how just ridiculously awful his opinions are, and we love him for that.
Hey, Darrington took punches for Titans fans yesterday.
Well, he says he did.
That's true. He says he took punches in a Julio jersey.
Just
a tooth.
Yeah. He also said he went to L.A. to clear his mind after the Titans beat the Seahawks when everything that's legal in Los Angeles is also legal in Washington.
Doesn't
love
matter.
You, Darrington. We're going to smoke you out, and not in the way that you want to be smoked out. So, what I will say to you, though, about that defense is not only were Jeffrey Simmons and the guys up front in that fourth and one stop able to identify what basically was Josh Allen's tell that he was going to sneak. Now, every quarterback has this. You're always figuring out tendencies of your opponent. Every little thing that they do is going to be studied at great length throughout the course of the week to see if you can just find some way to beat that individual in the margins. Now, it'll help that you got a little help from home field, literally home field. The turf took him out before Jeff wrapped him up like a baby in his arms. But also, I was talking to Bud Dupree last night, Bud Dupree who made his return as well as Julio Jones, and we'll spend some time on the injuries later on in the show because there are many, and they may have to do something before the trade deadline to kind of strengthen or bolster that secondary because they're in a bad spot right now. But Bud Dupree comes back. Bud Dupree plays a really, really good game. You saw him be disruptive. You saw him swat passes down as Josh Allen was trying to get screen passes off and things of that nature. You saw Bud Dupree have an impact alongside Harold Landry and Jeffrey Simmons and the person who I think is the best acquisition of the 2021 season, Danico Autry. Danico Autry was so, so good last night. Again, consistently this year. But I was talking about Dupree, and he's like, yeah, we were able to kind of bother Josh Allen because the way that he likes to make plays off of schedule, he likes to roll to his right. So basically everything that we were doing was trying to keep Josh Allen from rolling to his right. So when he started to, he realized that he couldn't. He got flustered. He either held the ball. He was begging to make a bad decision last night. There were a lot of defensive pass interferences, and Breon Borders was put in a spot where he had to fill in. I thought he held up. It was so-so. Could have been better. It's going to need to be better against Kansas City because it may be Breon Borders again on the outside without Christian Fulton and now without Caleb Farley. But the way that Josh Allen was just lobbing these balls up to Stephon Diggs and guys down the field, he was dying to throw an interception because when he rolled to his right, he got frustrated. He couldn't really make plays off of schedule the way that he likes to. So then he would tuck it. He would look around. He would go through his progressions or he would lose his progressions. Then he would just heave one up for somebody to get a hand on. I mean, Breon Borders, Janoris Jenkins knocked an interception out of Breon Borders' hand. So maybe we're having a different conversation about Breon Borders today, if that is indeed the case, because that could have ended the game too. 615-737-1045. Let's go to Mario, who's in Memphis. He wants to talk about the Titans. What's up, Mario?
Yo, good morning, fellas. How you doing?
Man, we're living great.
Man, my voice hoarse, man, because we were so live last night. Some Bills fans, man. Me and my brother drove up from Memphis yesterday. We went to the game, and I drove back last night after the game. And some Bills fans, they was outrageous, man. I mean, they were talking so much crap. And I kept on telling them, man, it's a long ride to Buffalo. It's a long ride back to Buffalo with that L. It's a long ride. And then time Big Sim stuff, Josh Allen, I just looked at the Bills fan and said, ball game. Bro, let's go. Let's get back to Memphis. What a hell of a game. Hell of an environment. Thanks to the city of Nashville. I had a great time. I will be back when they play the Niners and the Dolphins. Man, it was just awesome, though, man. It was just awesome, bro. Just awesome, man.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, Mario. We appreciate the call. And come back and see us sometime. Little inner city love story. We can't ever get Memphis and Nashville to get along. Now we have bonding over sporting events. Now if I could just get Nashville to care about the Grizzlies, because the NBA starts tonight, and of course I'm not going to get to talk about it at all. Which I'm sure bothers nobody. Lucas is giving me just death stares behind the glass. Could not possibly care less about basketball. And you don't have to today. What I'll say about, and I don't want to make the show entirely about the environment, but the environment does matter. And you're going to continue, because now you're not just playing for the division. Now you've just broken this thing wide open, right? Because you've just leapfrogged the Bills in the AFC. You're 4-2. Buffalo's 4-2. You've got the Los Angeles Chargers sitting there at 4-2, and the Ravens have the tiebreaker over them. So you're looking at an AFC that not only are you just playing for one home playoff game at this point, now you have the ability to play for home field advantage throughout the course, maybe not throughout the course of the postseason, but it's attainable. It is attainable as you sit there in third place. You're the third overall seed right now. The Titans don't play the Chargers or the Ravens this year, so they'll have to falter without the help of the Titans. And you're looking at a team that by point differential, by turnover margin, the Titans don't look like they're in the same class as Baltimore, Los Angeles, and Buffalo. But that's what makes this team so entertaining. Because there are a million numbers that'll tell you why you shouldn't believe, bet on, you know, spend your time watching the Tennessee Titans. And if you're one of those people who is so numerically driven right now in the sport, because there is a lot of this that's trending this way. It's what's made baseball a lot less fun to talk about and to argue about, because you're getting bogged down in all these advanced metrics. And I love DVOA. I love EPA per play. I love things that give me more information about what I'm watching. But when the things that are designed to give me more information start to dictate or try and dictate, I hate to use the oldest cliche in sports, but literally the eye test. Like, it's such a lame way to do it. But I don't know how else to talk about this team. I don't know how else to explain them. Because things like Derrick Henry are inexplicable. Because losing to the Jets in New York is inexplicable. And beating the Buffalo Bills on Monday night, pretty handily. You had the opportunity to end that game several times. And they didn't play a perfect game, but damn near. Because they just went out and beat the best team in the AFC. I don't think the Bills are worse than the Ravens. I don't think the Bills are worse than the Chargers.
Chargers did not look good on Sunday.
No, they still, and I think Justin Herbert is the truth. I still think he's a young quarterback who you can bother and who you can fluster and frustrate. Baltimore did that exact thing.
Shut them down.
On Sunday. So I'm looking at this and saying, all right, you just totally changed the narrative of your season. Now it's not just about being king of the trash heap in the AFC South. Now it's about, all right, how many home playoff games can you potentially host if you can keep your grasp and continue to further your position in this conference? 615-737-1045. Tarn, I believe is how I say it, is calling in from Fresno, California. You're getting people from all over the place. Wants to talk about the Titans. What's up, boss?
Hey, Buck. How you doing, man? First time calling any type of show ever, man. So I appreciate you guys taking my call, man. I just want to say I've been following you. I want to give you your flowers first. I've been following you for a few years back when you were A to Z and A. I love everything you do, you know, being a fan in Fresno. The only way I get Titan news is through you, you know, through Coach Mac, Titans Radio. But, you know, hey, I'm pumped up about last night and this season. I mean, I think last night was the first game to where, you know, last year we kept getting told that, you know, our offense was great, but where was our defense? We had a worst third down defense, you know, in history. And this year, our defense has been carrying the weight, but I felt like our offense finally, you know, started to click. We finally got our pieces together, even with all the injuries. But it seems like you mentioned a few minutes ago, we finally played some complimentary football, it seems like. Not our best, but, you know, it's something to look forward to. And, you know, just speaking about the Chargers, you know, if they, I don't think they're going to be anything to worry about later on. And, man, Buck, I'm just stoked, man. I appreciate you taking my call, man. I listen to you guys every morning on my way to work. I'm actually running late right now on my way to work, but I listen to your podcast, man. Real quick, shout out to the boys, Busting with the Boys, sign Will Compton, Taylor.
Thanks, buddy. We appreciate the call. Man, that was really, it's really cool to see how many people, I mean, it's all over the country. This is legitimately, and what I was watching today across sports coverage, right? Because this is a thing, I don't necessarily find importance in it, but I do think it's interesting for the purposes of fans to see how the rest of the country is covering what was a nationally televised event last night. Because for forever, it's been, all right, well, the Kansas City Chiefs choked in Week 10, coming back and losing to a Titans team in 2019. Oh, Patrick Mahomes has a bad knee. Is this a tipping point for the Chiefs? It's about the Chiefs losing more than it's about the Titans winning. Same in 2018 when the Philadelphia Eagles were defending their Super Bowl title and they lost in overtime on a Corey Davis touchdown. That changed the game. It was about the Eagles and how they were slumping with a Super Bowl hangover potentially because they just lost to the Titans. How could they not be? What I saw today was about how the Titans won the game. What I saw last night on SportsCenter was about how the Titans won the game. And I don't know how much importance you want to put into narrative shifts, but that's a pretty substantial one, and that's worth monitoring throughout the course of this stretch, this three-game stretch, because you've got some pretty impressive opponents that you're going to have to take down. We'll continue this conversation coming up next. You'll hear from the head coach, Mike Vrabel, as well. Your phone calls, too. Load them up, 615-737-1045. It's 1045 The Zone. Harold Landry, man. Keith, Coach Mack on the call. Harold getting consistent pressure last night. Two sacks on Josh Allen. Should have had another one that was wiped off of by David Long. David Long, who ended up having a great game, but man, it's one of the dumbest penalties I've ever seen. He just straight up the plays over. They might as well blow it dead. It's not blown dead. David Long just walks. It just looks like it doesn't even look like he was running. It looked like he walked up and headbutted Josh Allen.
Headbutt.
And maybe the tell again. Like I said, I haven't had the chance to watch back the TV copy yet. But I was watching this from the press box, and I'm like, what the hell did he just do?
And Landry has 6.5 sacks now, right? After last night,
6.5, tied for third in the NFL. He's got 32 pressures. So, and this was a conversation that I had pregame with Luke Worsham on A to Z Sports. The best way to judge an individual pass rusher is pressures. You cannot judge a pass rush exclusively by pressures, though. But if you're looking at Harold specifically, look at the pressures as much as you're looking at the sacks. 32 pressures, third in the NFL. 6.5 sacks, tied for third in the NFL. He's got 13 quarterback hits, tied for fourth in the NFL. 7 tackles for loss, tied for fifth. Contract year. Can you hear the money? Because it's I can physically hear the money being direct deposited into Harold Landry's bank account this offseason. I don't know who's going to direct deposit it. I don't know if it's going to be the Titans or somebody else. It's going to be a fascinating story this offseason. But damn, Harold looks great this year. And honestly, it's because of how much better. It's not just because Harold has been a great player this season. And he has been a great individual player this season. But again, what is the correlation between the two games that the Buffalo Bills have lost? Interior pressure, disrupting the quarterback, allowing the guys on the edge to clean up the sacks. That's exactly the kind of stuff that you saw last night. And it was cool to ask Mike Vrabel about Danico Autry because he went on and on about just how much this dude cares. You've had so many guys in and out of the lineup, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. And Autry has been there week in and week out and consistently impacts the play. Harold Landry, though, I mean, That's it's going to be like what carried all of sports throughout the course of the pandemic. It was, should Dak Prescott get a contract extension for the Cowboys? That's going to be the Nashville version of that when the offseason rolls around. But in the meantime, back to the phone. 615-737-1045. Jason is in Murfreesboro. He wants to talk about the Titans DBs. Jason.
Hello.
You're on the air, buddy.
Hey, this is Jason Thompson. I'm a longtime 49ers fan, but, you know, hometown Titans fan because, you know, the 49ers here, obviously, before Titans. But I just want to say they got to do something with the Jenkins. And, I mean, every team is, you know, one injury away from being out of the playoffs. You got to do something better.
Well, yeah, but you don't have anybody else right now, Jason. Like, I don't know if you were paying attention to the injury report last night. Thank you for the call. Can you do that, by the way? After Lucas is done answering the phones, I'll make him put it on a poll. Can you be a fan of two teams like that? Because he's a 49ers fan, but obviously a hometown Titans fan. That I don't get that. Maybe a conversation. But how can we intelligently phrase that into a poll question?
What was it?
Do you hear what he said about being a 49ers fan, but also a hometown Titans fan? Can you do that? Can you have two teams like that? I feel like you can.
Yeah, it's tough because there are a lot of people that lived in Nashville that came from other places that were diehard fans of whatever team. Then the Titans come to town, and they're living in Nashville, and years go by. And so you have your childhood team, but also this team that came to the town you live in. So I can forgive certain situations like that.
All right. You're more generous than I am. 615-737-1045. But to his point about the secondary, listen, Jackrabbit didn't have a great game. He played, I think, the best game that we've seen him play this season is against Jacksonville. He was very active. He was able to make some good breakups throughout the course of that game. It's not like he had an outright bad game, but there were some moments where they were clearly going at him in the moments that they weren't going at Breon Borders because he was in and out of the lineup. And for those of you who haven't seen the news on Caleb Farley today, his season is done with a torn ACL, according to multiple reports across the NFL. I saw Kaharski, I saw Schefter, I saw Rappaport today putting that information out there. So, I mean, they have to consider doing something. I don't know that there's anything out there right now, and I can't tell you that I'm intimately familiar with what's available on the cornerback market, but I can tell you that it's probably not good enough to be starting for you on the outside. Now, Breon Borders has played some good snaps for this team last season, given all the injuries that they experienced throughout the course of their 2020 season in that at that particular position. But I just think that you need to have a better solution, and it'll be interesting to see how conversations around the trade deadline pick up because, I mean, that's you can't go forward with what do they got? They got Jackrabbit. They got Chris Jackson, who was ruled out during that game. So we'll see what happens with Chris Jackson.
Borders.
You have Borders and you have Molden. So you got Jackrabbit for sure. You have Jackrabbit, Molden, and Borders.
So you've lost, obviously, Farley for the season. Fulton was out last night.
Yeah. Fulton on IR. So he's going to for sure miss the Chiefs and right. The Colts game at the very least. You got to address it one way or another. All right, the lines are loaded up. We're going to talk about this Titans defense before we pivot to Derrick Henry for MVP because I told you we're going to start the campaign. This is going to be my what do I call it when you – I'm a terrible Catholic. I should know what this is called. When you go to confession and the priest says you have to do
– Your penance.
Your penance? All right, my penance is a Derrick Henry for MVP campaign. We'll do it next.